Father, we have come to see that you are an awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, that day by day you will reveal greater things to us. You have promised that you will do exceedingly far beyond that which we dare ask or think. So, Lord, O God, we see no impossibilities today. For your word says, O God, that there are no impossibilities to those that believe, and there are no impossibilities to you. So, Father, help us by your Spirit to pray in accordance to your will, that we may experience the manifestation of your will here in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, O God, that every influence of darkness is destroyed, and your exalted name is exalted in all the earth, even as your word says, your Spirit shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see you tonight as we continue our time together in prayer. You may be seated. Tonight we are going to cover a few things. And we're going to start out by praying for God's children. Our world is filled with a lot of displacement as far as it concerns the mind. There are so many that are going through mental issues. A lot of people are not just physically sick, they are mentally sick. They are depressed, they are confused, they are overwhelmed, they are hopeless. And the experiences that we've gone through in the past little while with the pandemic, where people were isolated and had nobody to talk with, or they lost a loved one and weren't able to be there with them, they weren't able to say their goodbyes, has placed a lot of people in the state of mourning. And that mourning has become grief. And that grief is destructive. It is destructive. It kills everything because the spirit of grief feeds on more things going wrong so that you keep on grieving. And when you are in that state of grief, your mind is not operating properly. And you lash at the world for whatever reason, at people. There's no trust. There is no sense of continuity. You're overwhelmed. And there's so many that are going through things like that. And, you know, sometimes we can, you know, become critical and say, why don't you this, why don't you that, and why don't you this, and why don't you that? Pick yourself up and, you know, and so on and so forth. But sometimes it's not that easy. We need intercession. We need somebody to pray. And when we pray, we don't necessarily just pray for the people that we know. We pray for people that we don't know. People that are struggling. There are people that are suicidal because of the different things that are happening in their lives. And we need to trust God on their behalf. Say, God, heal, deliver, set free. God has not given us the spirit of fear. And God has not called us to worry or fret. God has not called us to stay in that language in place of grief. So tonight, I would like for us to start there. So just pray for people that are struggling with their minds, struggling with their emotions, struggling with life, are depressed. There are people who cannot sleep, and they're popping one pill after the other. And I say, that's not me, but that's somebody. That's maybe your co-laborer somewhere. You know, you're working with them. Somebody that you meet in the mall or in the grocery store. And, you know, a lot of these people end up in the streets sometimes. You know, and some of them just are so angry with life, you know, they can hurt somebody. So we need to pray. Amen? We definitely need to pray that God will heal people in the church, outside the church. God so loved the whole world, everybody, that he gave his only begotten Son. And part of our prayer in regards to people this way is that the Holy Spirit will woo them and pull them in, that they find that they need God in their lives and find faith and just trust, even if it is, God, if there is a God, help me. I don't know if there is a God, but if there is a God, help me. Even if they do that, you know, the Word of God says, when we call on him, he will help us. So let us pray for healing for people, for their minds, that God will touch them. Amen? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. You are the lover of your people. You love people. You care about them. You want the best for them. But Lord, oh God, there are so many that are struggling with their minds. They're struggling because they don't know what to do. They do not know you. And Lord, oh God, we will just pray for them now that this stronghold of grief, every trace of it, be eradicated from their lives. The Lord, oh God, and an awareness of who you are will be established in their lives. We ask, oh God, for your intervention in the lives of our fellow men and women, no matter where they are. You are God everywhere present, and you say that we can ask of you. And there's nothing you cannot do. And Lord, oh God, we may not know them, may not have met them. But Lord, oh God, you're everywhere present. And Lord, you see what we don't see. You can appreciate what we cannot appreciate. Father, touch your people, touch your children, the ones that you've so loved, that are struggling, confused, overwhelmed, hopeless, stressed out. Father, be Father to them today. Be God to them today. Lord, Holy Spirit, pull on the strings of their heart. Pull on the strings of their heart, O God, that they might cry out. Cry out to you, that you might intervene, O God, in their particular situation. We pray, O God, for those that are struggling even within your church, within the body, believers that are depressed, believers that are struggling emotionally, struggling mentally, struggling with depression, struggling with circumstances that have been overwhelming. We ask, O God, that you will, in your loving kindness and your tender mercies, touch them. You are well able to heal them in their minds. You're well able to touch them this very moment and turn things around for them. Lord, we cry out to you. We cry out, O God, to you. We cry out, O God, to you. We declare by the authority of your word, O God, let there be peace and healing and restoration for these people today. Let their minds be healed. May they be healed in their emotions. Lord, oh God, fear has gripped the hearts of many that they are physically unfit. And we ask, oh God, for that intervention, that you will heal them, spirit, soul, and body. Oh God, let your saving grace bring restoration and peace to lives today, to our neighbors, oh God, to our fellow men and women, children that are struggling, oh God, with depression. Lord, oh God, adults that have been suicidal because they feel hopeless. We ask, oh God, for your intervention. Heal your people. Whatever the situation is, whatever it is that's caused them to be in the state of mind that they are in, we ask, oh God, for your intervention. Heal, restore, and make whole. Father, guide each one in their decision making. Guide each one. Guide your sons and your daughters. You are the creator of your people. Help your people, O God, to grow in the wisdom of discernment. And by so doing, not be overwhelmed by the workings of darkness. We give you praise for this. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Many years ago, I brought a teaching. I think actually the first time I spoke about this was when I did, I brought a message. The Lord said he wanted to address the nation. I was in my office upstairs. He says, today I want to address the nation. And I said, oh, that's great. How is that going to happen? And where? He said, right here. In this church? Yeah. Is there somebody coming that I need to bring to the podium to address the nation? I said, no. I said, so how are you going to address the nation? He said, through you. I said, what? It's like 5 minutes to service time, and I'm having this discussion with the Lord. I came in, I sat down. Praise and worship happened. And I did not have a word. Not a word. I walked up to the podium, opened my mouth, and then whoop, there it was. It was a message called The Gold or God's Standard. I think we still have CDs of it, and address all kinds of situations in that particular message, dealing with occultism and Freemasonry and you know, just addressing all kinds of stuff. And one of the things the Lord said to me as I was preaching and speaking was in reference to this particular fact. He said, the church has no right to be speaking about moral issues when they've not been subject to him. And as I explored that particular statement, the Lord was saying that there are people living together in the church, and you want to talk about adultery and fornication and so on and so forth, that repentance has to start in the house. And it went on further, and he said to explain to me Because actually, he said the church has no right to address the immoral issues of homosexuality if it does not address the issues of fornication and adultery in the church. And he began to expand on it. And that's when, for the first time, I had this particular understanding. It was not born by me sitting down somewhere and figuring it out. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. He said to me, he said, if a man and a woman get sexually involved before marriage, their souls join. There's this soul tie. He says if those people went and related with other people, they don't only take with them the soul tie, the guy doesn't just only take away the soul tie of this woman to the next relationship, and the woman to the man in the other in the next relationship. So when they meet, you have the woman mating with another woman because of the soul tie, and the male mating with another male from the soul tie. And began to say to me, as I was talking, he said, the first level of that is confusion. It's confusion, sexual, moral confusion. And it will go on to the level where you become bisexual and then full-grown homosexuality. Because the male is mating with the male that she mated with in the soul tie. And the woman is mating with the woman that she's mating with, he's mating with in the soul tie. So you have lesbians, bisexuality, and so on and so forth. So you understand what I'm talking about? Okay. So part of this confusion is people getting into that place of being confused about their gender. What we are struggling with in our society today. People are confused about their gender. It's a spiritual thing more than it is a physical thing. Now, it is because of the lines of iniquity that have been established with the sexual revolution that started way, you know, in the 60s, coming on till this particular time. And now we are in a state that confusion has come to that level, to a height, where to shut down the confusion, people are talking about being non-binary. I'm neither male nor female. Because to think about being male or female becomes so confusing that I'm nothing. So I'm nothing, and I am, they talk about I'm a them, the pronoun issues. You know, when people say, I'm not a he or a she, I'm a them. Well, it's because of all of this stuff. Are we together? It's all spiritual. Today we want to pray that stronghold, that God, by his mercy and his grace, will shatter that stronghold. The word of God says that he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. That the presence of God will step in and begin to break and chip off on that confusion that is pervading our society. You know, it's just crazy, the confusion that's happening in the world. Men don't know what they are anymore. Women don't know what they are anymore. It's just a mess. And this is what we are living with. And that confusion is so normalized that that's even in schools, children in grade 3 or whatever have been today, they have been surgically and medically been changed to become something that they are not. And some of them are killing themselves because they're confused. Well, we can sit down here and say, that's them over there. No, we don't do that as God's children. We don't do that. We need to understand what they're going through. They're overwhelmed by the wickedness in the world, the darkness. But God is able to call light out of darkness. He's able to heal, to deliver, to set free. That's somebody's son. That's somebody's daughter. It could be anyone. You know, because believers bury their heads in the sand, you know, so many times. We're shocked when something like that happens within the church family. Say, what? Not here. That's not my portion. Yeah, it's not your portion, but are you praying to make sure that others be set free so that that is not your portion? So we need to pray. We are not in this world for ourselves. If God just wanted you saved and that's all, he would have saved you and then you drop dead and you go to heaven. But we are here to occupy till he comes. And we're here to intercede for the world. We're here to pray for people. So today we want to pray and ask God to intervene in our society that is confused, doesn't understand what gender they belong to. And, a lot of this stuff, like I said earlier, is spiritual, demonic, and just devilish. Let's put it that way. I don't want to go too far because I might say certain things that might be too much for you to handle. But let's just say it's not of God. Amen? It is not of God. So we're going to pray for the healing of God's people, that they be delivered from gender confusion, that God will cause men and women to begin to repent. Amen? Repent, cry out to God, and to stop practicing that which is wrong, that which is evil, because it's not just about you, it's about the next generation. And by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ said in his word that when you lust, you've already committed this sin. Right? Hello? Okay, thank you. So what is a prevailing aspect? There are people who have not been physically involved with somebody else, but through their devices, whether it's a tablet, a computer, a phone, a smartphone, television, or movies, are inundated by diabolical activities of darkness. So there are lots of people, even in the church, that have been duped by the enemy into pornography. And pornography is a gateway to all of this confusion. So it can happen, you know, anyhow, in all kinds of ways. And sometimes it's innocent. You didn't go looking for it, but there it shows up. Yeah? So, and once the enemy can hook you in that way, he's had an open door into your life and into your family and your generations. So we're going to pray for God's power to break that stronghold, because it's a stronghold that is stronger than a drug addiction and whatever else. And there are so many people that are hooked in that foolishness. So that becomes a spiritual, mental issue. Let's pray for the healing of people when it comes to the issues of morality, the issues of the mind, how whatever which way the enemy is used to snare them, that there'll be deliverance. Amen? Deliverance from lust, deliverance from pornography, deliverance from every form of confusion. That God would deliver people, and if there are people that are already in that state, that God will set them free. Amen? We understand what we're praying about? Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy that's made available to us as your people. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are the God who sets your people free from all sexual immorality, from the lies and the deceptive ways of darkness. We ask, O God, for deliverance for your children. The Lord, O God, that you, by your Spirit, O God, will sweep through our society and eradicate the workings of the evil one that is snaring so many. So many children are being destroyed, are being targeted by the influence of darkness. They've been targeted by what they see on television, what they see on their tablets, what they see, the friends that come into their lives and bring things into their lives. Father, we are praying, O God, that you will protect our sons and our daughters. Protect, O God, our men and our women. And Lord, O God, not only within the body of Christ, but outside the body of Christ, that Lord, O God, that there will be a move of purity, moral, sexual purity amongst your people. And Lord, O God, that they will pursue righteousness, that they will pursue, God, holiness, that they will pursue purity, O God. And Father, O God, that you will deliver your children from all forms of evil. And Lord, O God, that the minds of your people be protected from the workings of darkness. Intervene, O God, in your church. Intervene in our society. Intervene and destroy all confusion. Deliver and heal your people from this gender dysphoria, O God, that is this just all over the place. Yes, the percentage is low, but Lord, O God, it has been pushed by the devil, pushed in our schools, pushed by the media, pushed all around. And Lord, O God, today we ask, O God, that you break the backbone of the enemy, and that the lies of the enemy will fail and that it will cease, because your glory is manifested in our lives. We thank you, Father, for the authority of your word. Cause your people, O God, to begin to cry out and repent. Father, in the name of Jesus, do a work of grace, O God, in our community. Indeed, you do a work, O God, in the community of the church that will be a lighthouse that will help people walk in the protective graces, that will be bold to speak your word. Not be afraid, for Lord, you've not given us the spirit of fear. We thank you for your anointing. It is destroying yokes. It is destroying the influence of darkness. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that your loving kindness and your tender mercies is setting those that have been entrapped by the evil one free, that they will not see, O God, your people as being judgmental and intolerant, but that they will see and experience your everlasting love, that it is love that is driving your church, your people, to speak to the issues that have held them in bondage. We give you praise for this, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The third thing they'd like us to pray about, and then we're going to pray about some of the things that we talked about on Wednesday last and the Wednesday before from Proverbs 3. I want us to pray for our children, the young ones. You know, growing up, I had at least a certain level of knowing the Word of God, even though I was not a believer. We studied the Bible in public school. We had courses like New Testament Survey and Old Testament Survey, and while it wasn't deep study, we had something. We were able to pray, read the Word of God. We had some level of spiritual bearing. Some time back in the 60s here in the States, one woman, not a majority, one woman went against prayers in schools. And that was it. Remove prayers from schools. And that same mindset, that liberal mindset, godless mindset, has flowed around the world. People don't look at the Bible as a book that you'll bring healing and hope. In fact, I have spoken to us so many times for decades now about, you know, getting a physical Bible, and don't just depend on your electronic one, because when you are busy updating it, sometimes what you're updating is new scriptures that have nothing to do with the Word of God. And I did show it in one of my messages, not too, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. I was reading a passage of scripture, what the Word of God said, and what the iPad said. Two different things. Changes. Now, not only do we have changes in that regard, we have, you know, I might say too much. But let me put it this way. There are translations of the Bible, modern translations that are from the depths of hell. And those translations, and sometimes being promoted from the pulpit. And it doesn't read like the Bible. It reads like any other stuff, just any literature. So we have the younger generation coming up, and they are reading Bibles that don't sound like the Bible. Things are taken out of the Bible. We have no Bible in the home, no Bible at school. proper moral things are not being addressed. Evil is being promoted as good. Where do these young people stand? What do they have to work with? Really, what do they have to work with? You know, once upon a time we used to have those phones. You know those phones? I don't know if you saw those phones. Maybe you did not. You know, you stick your hand at 9 and you, and then it goes. These people don't know about that. They've not seen that. You show them that. What is that? Now, just imagine that's a phone, right? And you can, you know, they don't know anything about yellow books and white pages. Do you guys know about white pages? You know what a white page is? No, look at that. They don't know what a white page is. That's just a few years ago. So, when you have a situation like that, and all you see is the new family's two guys or two ladies, what do you have to plug into? That's all you've seen. So you say, the other mother of Johnny. The other mother. Okay, let's get rid of that. We don't want that word mother anymore. Let's get rid of the word mother completely. You think I'm kidding? They're getting rid of the word. They want it out. Don't say mother. Huh. So what are the children coming up being familiarized with? All they see is wickedness, but they don't identify it as wickedness because that's all they know. It must be like this. What do parents do? How do parents deal with all of these issues that are facing them in this modern society? When the government says it's our children, it's nobody's child. My child now is your child? Excuse me? So now we don't have to tell the parent about whatever it is that we want to do with their child. So there's dishonor, disrespect. Parents don't have any power. But then if my child, which you say is your child, does anything wrong, you come and attack me. But I don't have any rights. Oh, the confusion. Where do children stay? So we need to pray that God will help our children to be grounded, that God will grant parents wisdom to speak to their children so that the children are grounded at home, rooted and grounded in the love of God, and that the boldness of Jesus Christ comes into them, that they're able to stand for something, they believe something, and they're able to weather through everything. They see their parents that are standing and are not wimps. Parents need to stand for something so that the children see something, because the world is not going to give them that example. Does it make sense? Let us pray for parents and their children, that they will find strength in God. God will grant them wisdom. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Pray. Father, there is ever a time that we need wisdom. We have need of a sense of purpose. We need sense of objectivity. There were every time that we need to be grounded and rooted in your love. It is now. And I ask, oh God, that you grant to fathers and mothers and their sons and daughters the wonderful grace of being grounded in that truth. That we are aware of what truth is and know what good is and be discerning. And Lord, oh God, that the boldness to stand for righteousness, recognizing that one with God is a majority, that will be rooted in the hearts of your people, that being grounded in your love, oh God, that boldness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who took on the devil and all his cohorts single-handedly and defeated them, that will come upon your sons and your daughters and their parents. Lord, oh God, that will be able to stand against all the lies of the enemy and push back the darkness. For Lord, oh God, our children need, oh God, to know the truth. May parents, mentors, pastors, fellow church members, leaders, stand for that which is true, that we may be aware as men of righteousness, not to buckle under the oppression of the evil one, but stand strong and mighty because your grace is sufficient. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I find it rather interesting that there are people who are not believers by any stretch of the imagination that are standing for truth and could care less about the pressures of the world. I was reading something the other day. Elon Musk was saying. Now, Elon Musk, by no stretch of the imagination, is a believer. In fact, sometimes he says some very crazy things that is very telling about where he is at. He doesn't even believe that. He doesn't really believe there is a God. So when an Elon Musk is being challenged about things that he tweeted, and that can cause his business to be wrecked, and he says, "You know what? I don't care. I don't care. What is true is true. And it doesn't matter if I lose everything. The truth is still the truth." I look at that. I look at the man and say, well, if I lose 1,000,000,000% of what he is saying he's willing to lose, I will be in trouble. And this guy says, I don't care if I lose everything. The truth is the truth. And he doesn't even believe in God. Whatever it is that I lose is less than peanuts. If he loses, that's big time loss. But the guy is saying, I don't care. What is true is true. So I'll tweet what I want to tweet. If all the customers pack and go, it doesn't matter. What is true is true. I don't know the name of this basketball player, but I know he's from Turkey. Stood up against stuff that had to do with abuse of human rights, not only in his country, but in China, and, you know, loses millions, gets fired, and won't stop, lost his family, but won't stop because he believed in something. And he's not even a Christian, he's Muslim. But he believed in something that says to me, where are we as believers? A lot of believers have, you know, they just try to find a loophole, you know, to not do something, or find some preacher that confirms whatever thought they have that's not founded on truth, and not willing to sacrifice because they believe nothing. They say they believe, but the proof is in the pudding. I want us to pray like Paul. Paul says that he is convinced, that he believes that that which he has placed in the hands of God will be taken care of. He had faith and was willing to die for his faith. Even when he was off, he's leaving Jerusalem and he's going to Damascus, he's going to persecute believers out there. But when he came to the place of salvation and he accepted God, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, he was just as gung-ho at it and did everything to make certain that he fulfilled his call. I want us to pray for us, ourselves as believers, that we come to a place where we stand for something. Because when you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. We understand what we believe, who it is that we believe. Jesus, our Lord, said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? And then when they told him, he said, but who do you say? Forget about what everybody else is saying, but who do you say? Who am I to you? What do you know? That we all come to that place where we have a personal relationship. And we are totally sold out to the vision of God. Amen? Ultimately, that is the wisdom of God. It's the fool that says there is no God. But the wise will say, there is a God, and I don't care. I don't care. There are people in China, in the underground church, stood for something. As I heard this story of the military breaking into an underground church, and they got there, said, we're not going to kill anyone here. If you will deny Jesus, you can leave right now. And those who grabbed whatever they could grab and took off. And the others stayed and said, we don't care. You want to kill us? Kill us. We are not going to deny Jesus. And to their great surprise, the soldiers dropped their guns, came and hugged them and said, we're so glad to meet with you, brothers. We too are believers. We wanted to make sure that there were no traitors in our midst. Those guys, now you know them. They don't believe. Now we're willing to give everything because we believe something. No matter what it costs us, we believe. We stand for something. That we have to be radical in our faith relationship with God because we love God with everything that we've got, And we believe there is a heaven. We believe there is a hell. Forget about purgatory. Whatever that nonsense is. That there is a God. And he's worth serving. Amen? Let us pray that God will instill in us as his people this greater level of wisdom to know that there is a God and that we stand solid and strong, be willing to sacrifice because we love God and we love his people. We want the gospel preached. We want the world to be touched by the love of God. When we are in that place, there's nothing we can hold back from God. Amen? So, let us pray. Talk to the Father. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We ask, O God, that you establish in us, your people, this wonderful grace of faith, total surrender. Cause us, O God, to be steadfast, fervent in faith, believing, committed, living a life of total sacrifice, unafraid, because we know that you are faithful and that you are a good, good God. Father, help us to stand strong. For if we're not able to run with men, how can we run with chariots? Every little thing, and we are easily shaken. We embrace anger, strife, bitterness. Because of a little challenge, we rather operate in hate rather than love. Today, O God, we pray that by your Spirit, O God, that you will cause your church, your people, to be instilled with a greater and higher wisdom of faith, that we may know you, the power of your resurrection. That this grace, O God, will cause us, O God, to be willing to sacrifice much, unafraid, unabated, O God, in our love relationship with you and with each other. That the lies of the enemy will not separate your people. O Lord, O God, that the love of God will cause us to be cohesive and come together strong, not strangers to each other, but stronger together because of the power of unity. A Lord of God, that will draw strength from each other to stand for what is true, stand for that which is right, stand, O God, in loving kindness and tender mercies, that this gospel of the kingdom might be preached. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, your Holy Spirit that gives us the grace to remember, your Holy Spirit that causes us, oh God, to be on fire for your purposes, unafraid. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you can do a mighty work in us. Cause us, O God, to be steadfast. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. We give you praise for all things. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we will not be able to get to the Proverbs passage today, but we had prayed about it a little bit on Wednesday. The Word of God says to us, about long life, being at the right hand of wisdom, riches and honor in the left hand. Those three things we need as God's people. The length of days we need. That is the ability to be highly productive. Amen? The ability to be highly productive so that whatever it is that we are able to, most people can accomplish in 24 hours or in a year, let's put it that way, we can accomplish in 24 hours. And so we have the length of days. And that is important. Why? Because when we have the length of days and we are highly productive, we have a lot of rest time. Amen? And that rest time is valuable. Why? Because we can use it now to preach the gospel. Praise God. I don't have to worry about the finances because I've whatever it is I need is already covered. Now I can just go. Praise the Lord. I can just go and just preach. You know, it doesn't matter whether your preaching is in a plane or in a cruise line or down the street or wherever. You can just do whatever it is you want to do. Support whatever it is you want to do. Support so that this gospel is preached. So we're going to ask God for high productivity, that he give us a life that is highly productive and that he grants to us riches and honor. Amen? Praise the Lord. And as we pray about that, let us also pray that God will bless us in our service this Sunday, that God will meet us here in this house, that his grace will flow freely, touching every man and every woman, that no one will run away from God, but rather will all run to God and experience the loving kindness of God in a magnificent way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the grace to be highly, supernaturally productive in every area of our lives, productive, Lord, O God, spiritually, productive emotionally, productive physically, productive financially, productive relationally, productive, O God, in all manners of ways, because your grace, O God, is working mightily in us. And Lord, O God, you are giving us, O God, grace to move and flow in the highest levels of speedification. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive the anointing, Lord, O God, to move supernatural, to overtake. Let that overtaking grace come upon our lives. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for riches and honor. We tap, O God, into those riches and honor that is in the left hand of wisdom. As we have tapped, O God, into the high level of productivity that is in the right hand of wisdom, We give you praise, O God, that this is happening in our lives right now because of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. And we thank you, Lord, O God, that this Sunday, that you're going to meet with us, O God, in this service, that you're going to move, O God, in our lives supernaturally, that every man and every woman, every boy and every girl that will step through these doors and step, O God, into this safe place, your sanctuary, Lord, O God, that they will experience you, and Lord, O God, that it will be a time, O God, that is unforgettable, because, Lord, O God, you've done extraordinary things in each life. Lives being changed, minds renewed and transformed. Father, in the name of Jesus, take us past, O God, the place of transactional living to a place of transformational living. For Lord, O God, we just don't want to just transact, O God, with you. Lord, O God, we want, O God, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we, O God, represent you well. Oh God, truly as your ambassadors, here in the earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that your people are going to come and they're going to receive their healing. They're going to receive their deliverance. They're going to receive their promotion. They're going to receive their elevation. They're going to receive, oh God, breakthroughs. And Lord, oh God, every agenda of the enemy will be foiled and brought to naught in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your hammer come down hard on the head of the evil one. Let your word, O God, be powerful. Let it shatter strongholds and give your people breakthroughs. We give you praise, O God, for the awesome things that you have done and continue to do in us and through us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, we ask this done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving, that which God has placed in our hands. Let us honor Him with it, and may God multiply our seed sown. May we trust God with our sacrifice. God calls it our giving a sacrifice, or He calls it a seed. Amen? A sacrifice, the Bible tells us, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So when we bring a sacrificial gift to the Lord, it acts as a covering. And when we bring that seed, God says in His word that He multiplies our seed sown. May we all receive supernatural abundance and supernatural provisions because of God's grace operational in our lives. Amen? Praise God. Come, honor the Lord, and may God bless you as you give. And we look forward to seeing everyone this Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And be reminded once again that on the 28th, that is May the 28th, that is Sunday next, we are going to have the Pentecost service. It is also going to be a healing and deliverance service. So take note of that date and be reminded that when we have special meetings, the evening service is at 6:30, unlike other services that start at 7 o'clock. This will be at 6:30. So plan on being here for the service next Sunday on the 28th of May. And be reminded again, the evening will be a healing and deliverance service. Talk to your friends, your neighbors, those that know God, those that don't know God. May we all expect and pray for God's hand to touch all of His people. Amen? Praise God. Awesome. Well, and what else do I need to say? Well, July the 15th, mark that on your calendar also. That's still a month and a half away, or a month and three quarters away. That's a Saturday. We're going to have a block party. It's a big day. We're going to be serving and ministering to our community and pray about how you can be engaged in it. We trust in God to provide all that we need. Hoping to minister to 500 to 1,000 people that day. And we thank God for the perfect, wonderful weather that we're going to have. Pray for the worship team that are going to be leading that day, and for those that are going to be speaking and sharing testimonies, those that are going to be taking care of the young ones and the rides or whatever it is that we're going to have on that day. Amen. God bless you. See you Sunday morning.